This is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker. Welcome to the show. Before we get going, I'd like to thank our sponsor for this episode. That sponsor is Rollbar. With Rollbar, you can detect, diagnose, and defeat errors. Have you ever been in the situation where something goes wrong in your application and you're not sure why, and it happens to do maybe with your API or anything of that nature? Well, tracing that end-to-end is a real pain in the butt. Let's be serious, it's not fun at all. Well, with Rollbar, you can actually install the crash reporting and tools on the actual Android application, and you can get that done in about 8 minutes or less. You can also install the tools on your server framework, so it allows you to track the errors end-to-end. It's super easy. It works with all different types of major languages and frameworks, integrates with existing tools that you may use already, such as Jira, Slack, HipChat, GitHub, Asana, Pivotal, all those different types of things you may have used. And they're not a fly-by-night company either. Large companies such as Heroku, Twilio, Kayak, and Zendesk, and so forth, all use Rollbar. If you're interested in learning more and making your life easier as a developer to track these errors end-to-end, I highly recommend you check out Rollbar. And you can go to rollbar.com/fragmented to get the bootstrap plan for free for 90 days. That'll give you 300,000 errors tracked for free. Again, that's rollbar.com/fragmented. In today's episode, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. We're going to talk about working remotely. This is a very popular topic right now, especially in all the creative fields, meaning engineering, programming, design, anything of that nature. Mainly any type of information worker has the opportunity to work remotely as long as the company will allow it and supports it. I have a long past with working remotely, as I've been working remotely exclusively for close to 10 years now. If we include the part-time remote work that I've done, then we're closer to 15. So I have a lot of experience in this area, and I get asked for opinions on it quite frequently. So let's go ahead and talk about it and hop into it. I'm going to break this up into about three different sections. One is going to be working remotely for an employee, such as yourself. If you're a developer, and most likely you are, you're probably working for a company. How do you work remotely effectively and stay sane at the same time? What are the tips you can use? And maybe how can you convince your boss to maybe let you work remotely? What are some tips you can do there? I'm also going to talk about the tools that are necessary to work remotely, as well as I'll also take this from the other perspective. If you're an employer, why should you let your employees work remotely? So let's just hop right into it. This is going to be the employee section, or the contractor consultant section. Now, let's say you want to work remotely and you're not working remotely. How do you get to the point where you can? Well, my best advice is to talk to your manager, your boss, and tell them that you're interested in it. Say, this is a lifestyle choice that I would like to live. I'm maybe commuting a lot. Maybe I need to be there for my family in the off hours and the time that I'm commuting, or whatever reason that you have, bring it up. Be honest. That's usually the best case here. Now, sometimes there's going to be some pushback, but usually what I recommend is just starting it off easy, saying, hey, let's just give it a shot. Let's see if we can ease into it. And I'd like to work remotely one day a week. And you can usually push this to a Friday, because Friday, there's not a lot of huge business decisions that are being made. Things are not getting pushed to production on Friday. Well, at least I hope they aren't. I've seen otherwise, and I'm sure you have as well. But usually Fridays are a good case. And give it a trial run for 1 to 3 months to see how that goes. And if things go well, then say, hey, let's reevaluate it and see if we can bump it up to a couple days a week. If things go well, bump it up to 2 days a week. And again, do it like a Thursday, Friday. And so this is going to give you a nice separation of a boundary of a work week at work and a work week at home. If you can't do Thursday, Friday, maybe push it to the beginning of the week, Monday, Tuesday. But I've found that most employers like to go with a Thursday, Friday approach. Again, do that as a trial, and then just slowly grow the time that you are away from the office. And then at some point, you may get to the point where you are remote, but you just kind of come into the office once every couple of weeks or once a month or something like that. Depends on the business. But at that point, that's what you're looking to get. And that's the best way to start out. It kind of eases everyone into the transition, because if someone's gone for a day, it's not that big of a deal. It's just like as if they were sick, but except they are now remote. And if you're using the proper communication tools, which we'll get to here, then you'll be able to get a hold of the remote employee, and the remote employee will be able to get a hold of anyone in the office that they need to. So that's usually the best way to kind of allow remote work are posted. And so these are startups, and they have jobs ranging from programming, design, customer service, business development, all different kinds of stuff like that, support, you know, DevOps, anything of that nature. They have a whole bunch of jobs. The key thing is here, just if you're looking for something, go to that website regularly. You're going to see a slew of stuff. I've been just keeping an eye on it, forwarding people to that site for quite a while now. Secondly, if maybe you really like your company, you really want to convince them that you want to do it, you want to show them the book Remote. And that book is written by Jason Fried and David Hanemeyer Hansen. I believe this is the book that in my head was already written. I just never wrote it. The book Remote is great. It's fantastic. And it's a few years old now. But when I read it years ago, it was the book that I thought at the time, like, wow, this is the same stuff that I've been preaching for a long time. They just put it into text form before I could. Maybe one day I'll have to make an updated version of a very similar book. Who knows? And finally, so if you still can't find something and you're looking on, you know, WeWork remotely, there's also other job sites like Stack Overflow Careers has a remote section. More and more job sites, like Indeed and so forth, are all adding remote checkboxes, so you can check those as well. Let's say that you are working from home. We've got to that step that you are finally there. How do you work from home and stay sane? This is actually pretty easy, and you wouldn't think that these few things would make a big difference, but they will. Step one is to stick to a schedule. Schedule, schedule, schedule. Like, I want to repeat that. Burn it into your head. Stick to a schedule. You need to have a start time for work and a stop time for work. You need to create this boundary where work starts and work stops. Because otherwise, you'll find yourself working all hours of the night. You'll burn yourself out. You'll find out that you may end up depressed, have anxiety. So you need to create this boundary of, all right, well, this is work time. No, this is family and friend time. Not only that, but you need to create a schedule and a routine for yourself. So, for example, here is my routine. I like to get up at the same time every day. And if that's going to be 7 or 8 or 5 in the morning, whatever, so be it. I like to get up, take a shower, I get dressed, and I wear a collared shirt, meaning, so think like a golf shirt, like a Nike golf shirt, lightweight, you know, very comfortable, but it's got a collar on it, so it's kind of, it looks nice. Then I'll wear some pants. You know, if you're in Arizona, then you may wear some khaki shorts, whatever, but it's got to be something nice. It's not going to be like my Hawaiian, you know, swim trunks or something like that. Then I'll do my hair, and I'm basically getting ready for work. This is totally a mental thing. Now, looking good is always nice, because if you have that video call, which you will have if you're working remotely, it's going to go a long way to be presentable, and you don't have to worry about it. It's like, oh no, I got a video call in 20 minutes. I still haven't shaved, and I got my pajamas on, and I got mashed potatoes in my shirt with some grape Kool-Aid spilled on the other side, and you know, and I got a milk mustache. Like, that eliminates all of that right away. So stick to that schedule, get up like you're going to work, and prepare that you're going to work. Immediately after that, when you've already set your schedule that you're going to work from 8 to 5, or you're going to work from 10 to 7, or whatever your schedule is, even if you work at a co-working space or an office that's away from the regular office, grab your tea or your coffee, some drinks, such as like a couple of water bottles, or fill your water bottles up or something like that. Grab some snacks and put it in a bag or whatever, and a bunch of things, and head into your office. And hopefully you have a place where you can work that's, if it's inside of your house. This, again, is all mental. You're doing this, you grab your drinks and your snacks so that you don't have to leave a physical location for all. You don't have to leave your office. This is really key if you're working from home, because there's tons of distractions in your house. You need to limit your exposure to them. So you need to just bring these small things with you so you don't have to constantly step out. Because if you step out for some reason, you may realize, oh, I got to take that trash out. And then all of a sudden, you realize when you're taking the trash out that you left the rake in the yard, and then you go pick up the rake, and you're like, oh my goodness, I forgot to pick up the dog poop this weekend. And you're picking up dog poop, and you throw that away, and you're like, holy cow, the trash can blew down the street. You know, the recycling can blew down the street. Before you know it, you've burnt 45 minutes shaving, you know, yak shaving is what it's called. That's like doing one thing to the next. That's not the most essential thing you should be doing right now. You need to limit those distractions. So you're going to go ahead and stay in your office. Now you're going to work your 6 or 8 or 10 hour days or whatever. Get up, use the restroom sparingly. And then make sure when you do eat your lunch for about 30 minutes to 1 hour, and try to get out of your, you know, don't sit in front of the computer, sit in your kitchen, go outside, go to the taco shop, get out of the house for a little bit. Now let's take a little bit, step back. Let's rewind a little bit, and talk about the physical location that you're going to work. You need to make sure that you're working in a physical location that is different than your living condition. And what I mean by that is hopefully you have a place where maybe if you have a 2-bedroom apartment or the spare bedroom's not being used, or your house where you have a guest bedroom or something, that is really optimal. Take that and use it as your home office. In a true optimal situation, you have a door that you can close that will remove you from that outside area. If you have a loud house, kids at home, whatever, and you're working from home, you need to have that door and possibly have it locked so your younger children don't come in barging through. And then furthermore, you should have some good headphones that block out background noise to eliminate any distractions whatsoever. This is exactly what I do. When my children come home earlier or they're home for vacation, for various different school breaks, you need to be able to limit that. And when you're in that room, they know that mommy or daddy is inside of that room, that they can't come out because it's work time. And when you come out at 4, 5, 6, 7, whenever, that work is now over. If you do not have this spare bedroom, your secondary option is to, if you have a walk-in closet, and even most apartments nowadays have walk-in closets, newer apartments, that is. If you have a walk-in closet, you can remove half of the clothes in one of the areas and kind of put a makeshift desk together, or just move your desk in there, and you'll have a door that you can now close beside you. That's not the most optimal, but I do know many very, very successful engineers that have worked this way for years. And again, it's about creating that space, that separation of space where this is where work is done and this is where life is done. This, again, is a mental hack. You're going to notice working remotely is a big mental hack. Now, you don't have that. You live in a flat. You live in a studio. What do you do then? Don't work at your kitchen table. Just don't do it. Not a good idea. You need to have a desk. You need a space to go where you're going to go to work. And furthermore, if you can, you need to go to a place and buy some divider panels. And those are those little folding panels into three separate things. Put those up, maybe buy a couple of them, and create a small little division of like, this is my office. And when I come into this area, I don't see the rest of my house. I don't see my laundry. I don't see the trash that maybe needs to be taken out or the dishes that need to be done. I just see these dividers when I'm sitting down and I'm working, and maybe I hang some pictures up or some diagrams for work. This again gets you in that mental space. So you need that physical separation, and that's a quick way to do it inside of a place like a studio or a flat or something like that, where you don't have those physical boundaries that you can use. Back to the middle of the workday, you have that lunch. Try to get away from your desk. Try to eat in the kitchen. At least 2 days a week, you should try to get out of the house completely and go eat lunch elsewhere. Speaking of that, if you're going to get out of the house, try to even spend 2 days outside of the house working. And you can, spend a few bucks at the coffee shop, get a coffee, and break your day into 3 or 4 tasks that are a couple of hours long. And say, all right, well, for the first 2 tasks, I'm going to spend the first 4 hours of my day at this coffee shop. Get those tasks done. As soon as they are done, you leave. You leave that physical place. Then you go get lunch, do your other 2 tasks or whatever, and then you head home. What this does is there's actually some research that's shown is when you will move to a new location, the new location will actually change your environment and increase your creativity and so forth. Eat as healthy as you can too. It's not going to hurt you to have a salad. Eat a salad, as much as you can. Maybe even just once a day or, every other day, eat a salad. It's going to do good things for you. And when you're eating, hopefully you're going out and eating those couple of times a day, because this leads to, if you're not getting out of this house, like I've recommended a couple times now, you're going to get cabin fever. And for those of you that are not familiar with it, it's basically when you're in one place for too long, you go crazy. So get out, go to lunch with your significant other, go to lunch with a friend or anything like that, which leads me to also using that lunch period time for something else. A lot of times I will bring my lunch to, sometimes I go to a co-working space or my own little private office I have down the road from my house just to get out of my house. I have a gym that I go to at lunchtime, and it's a group fitness class. So for example, I'll go to CrossFit or I'll go to martial arts like jiu-jitsu or something like that. And this gives me social interaction that I would normally get in the office. And that's one thing you're going to miss when you work remotely is a lot of face-to-face social interaction. If you can use your lunch hour 3 to 4 times a week to get in some type of group fitness or some type of group oriented class. And I'm going to lean on the fitness class, because then you kill 2 birds with 1 stone. You get the social interaction and you get exercise. It's going to do wonders for your mental space. So don't take that tip lightly. That is probably one of my biggest tips that you're going to get. Use that hour, get out of the house, go exercise in a group fitness class. If it's CrossFit, it's CrossFit. If it's Pilates, yoga, whatever, doesn't matter. Just go into one of those things. Could even be a boot camp of some sort. Just do one of those things. Next, we want to talk about time blocking your tasks. What you want to do is make sure that you are time blocking any task because you don't want to thrash on anything for too long. Set it at 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever. If you hit that marker, you're done. You need to go find help. If that's on Stack Overflow, go there. If that's elsewhere, go to that place. But you need to time block your tasks to make sure that you're staying effective. And the last, probably the most important thing here that I'm going to say in this short fragment regards the employee side of things is when you are working remotely, the hardest thing that you're going to have, the thing that's going to be the hardest for you is to be engaged with the rest of the team. When you're remote, you have to communicate 3 to 4 times as hard as you did before. So if someone's not replying to you, you need to call them on the phone. If they're not picking up, you need to text them. If they're not texting, you need to start blowing up the Slack channel, emails, fill their inbox. I don't care. Like, you need to get a hold of them so you get their attention to clear the road so you can keep moving. Otherwise, you're going to sit there and just spin your wheels and it's not going to look good for you or anything. The squeaky wheel does get the grease. Sometimes it's embarrassing to be a little bit squeaky like that, but when you're working remotely and you are effective, you'll find that you do 10 times as much work as everyone else because you are very good at communicating. So always make sure that you're communicating. If you think you're trying hard enough, try harder, because trust me, everyone can always communicate a little bit more. So sometimes be loud, and if you need to, that's what you have to do. So let's talk about some of the tools real quick. Some of the tools that you're going to want to use when you're working remotely are going to be chats. And these are going to be things that the company needs to buy into as well for any employees that are on site. So we have the default industry leader, which is Slack. So that's great. Or HipChat is another close contender, and there are a few others. The key thing with these tools is that the employer and employers, if you're listening to this, you need to buy the professional versions of these licenses. So buy everyone licenses for this because they need more than the 10,000 message limit. It's terrible if you cannot search the history because you will not get the context that you need, because if it's buried 3 weeks ago, I can't search for it. It's behind some paywall. And now we've lost all of the value of having this centralized communication platform. Make sure that you're paying for each user. Get the professional edition. It's a few bucks per person. It's not that much. It's going to actually help speed things up. By not having it, it slows things down and costs you more money, costs the employer more money. You're also going to need video chat. So that's going to be Google Hangouts, going to be Skype, Zoom.us, Join Me, Wire, Huddle. There's a whole bunch of them out there. Whatever one works for you works the best. The default usually is Hangouts or Skype. If you need more people, people usually default to Zoom.us. If you need a lot of people, like a town hall meeting, it's like Join.me. So these are a lot of popular ones. So check those out as well. Of course, you're going to need to share your source code on some type of central repository. And that's kind of common. GitHub, Bitbucket, all those types of things. You want to share your documents on some type of thing. Could be Google Drive, some internal thing. If you are external, you need VPN, make sure that the VPN access is set up before you go remote, of course. All right, so let's quickly talk about the employer. You're an employer here. What are the things that you're going to need to do to make sure you're effective as an employer? The first question I get is, why should I allow my employees to work remotely? Well, number one, you're going to have a much larger talent pool to choose from. So if you are in a situation like Silicon Valley or New York City where it's hard to find great talent, opening up to the entire United States exposes you to an insane number of very talented engineers that don't live in those locations for various reasons. You now have access to them, and most likely it's not going to be as expensive as if it were in New York City. And you could still pay them more than they would probably get paid in their local environment, and they get to work remotely, which leads me to point number two of why you want to allow remote workers. When you hire remote workers, you're giving those individuals the opportunity to live a happier lifestyle that gives them more time with their friends and their family. They're not stuck in a car commuting or on a train or on a bus. They can actually wake up, go to work, and spend their time with their families and do the things that they enjoy doing. This creates a very loyal employee or a very loyal contractor, whoever's working with you, because it gives them that freedom that they've possibly have never had. We're still in the very early adopter years of remote working. So this is something to take advantage of while you can. And third, it makes your company very anti-fragile. So meaning you're more resilient to change. If you open your doors up to remote employees, you have the ability to hire individuals that you maybe would not have been able to hire in your local environment. You need a growth hacker for whatever reason. You might find one in Tennessee for some reason that has a ton of experience, but had to move back home because a family member was sick. And now you're able to utilize that expert when no one else would hire them simply because you're accepting them as remote. How do you keep your remote employees happy? Well, the first thing you need to do is have a good one-on-one contact as soon as you hire them. If you can fly them in to have that one-on-one contact, do so. That creates a little bond. So get them immediately one-on-one for a couple of days, if not a week, and then let them fly remotely from there. After your employee is now onboarded, you need to make sure that you have some quality face-to-face time every quarter or every 6 months. And this is a minimum every 6 months, no shorter than that. And the reason for this is you want to make sure that you have all of your employees getting together to build a bond together. So all of the remote employees need to come together in a central location. This could be your office or it could be at a getaway somewhere, but you need to do this. Is it going to cost money? Of course, but you're not paying these people office space or anything like that or anything of that nature. You're not buying them off, you know, a bunch of junk like that. This is very important to bind the company together. This is something that companies like MyFitnessPal, where I did a lot of work, they got us all together every quarter. Buffer does this. You need a budget, Barometrics, a bunch of companies do that. Get everyone together every 3 to 6 months, no less than every 6 months. As a get together, have some team building events, go do some go-karts, go do some crafts, go do something that's fun for everybody or a couple of things, get some dinners going, have some drinks, let everyone loosen up together so they get to know each other. And that's really going to make those remote employees happy. You're going to have loyal employees. You're going to have a much larger talent pool and everyone's going to be a lot happier. And you're going to have a nice culture every company would like. And utilizing these tools are key. And the final thing for employers that they need to realize is you need to work as if everyone, if anyone's remote, everybody needs to act like they are working remotely. If you're going to have a meeting, it needs to be on the video chat and needs to be like zoom.us. If you're going to have a little get together, it needs to be on zoom.us. If one person's working remotely, then everybody should be able to work remotely as long as they don't need to be there. Again, if someone's working on custom hardware, that's kind of hard. But if it's someone like a programmer engineer that's doing web work or mobile dev, then they can work remote, or designers or so forth. I hope this has helped. I know it's been a little bit longer of a fragment this time around, but this is a highly requested topic and everyone wants to hear about it. So I hope this helps all of you people looking to get into remote work, sending some tips and tricks, how to stay sane, how to stay productive, how to get in the mode, how to stay very connected. Make sure you get that schedule set up. So let's recap again. You want to make sure you have a routine. You want to make sure you have a schedule of when you're going to start and stop. You need a physical location where you're going to go so you can create those separation of boundaries. You need to make sure you're eating lunch, you're getting out of the house a couple of times a week. Find a group fitness class of some sort, get involved or some type of group like that so you can have outside social interactions that you are now missing from not being inside of an office. And finally, you need to communicate 3 to 4 times as hard. So try 3 to 4 times harder than you are now to communicate so you can get everything done you need to get done. You need to clear your own road. And for employers, again, remember, you're going to be opening yourself up to a much larger talent pool. You're going to find that you're an early adopter if you hop on this now, and you're going to get those really hard to find employees that you've been looking for real quickly because they're also looking for remote work. You're going to have more loyal employees and your company's going to become less fragile over time. And finally, make sure you get everyone together every 3 to 6 months for a nice little getaway or some type of just meet up for a few days where everyone gets to hang out and reconnect. Now, I hope that helps everybody. We'll talk to you soon. We'd like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Rollbar. With Rollbar, you get the context, insights, and control you need to find and fix bugs faster. You can go to rollbar.com/fragmented, and you're going to get the Bootstrap plan for free for 90 days, which includes 300,000 errors tracked for free. Again, check out Rollbar at rollbar.com/fragmented. Thanks for sponsoring the show, guys.